The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Gavin.
When it comes to the workplace, there are certain, let's say, commonplace do's and don'ts. Do work hard, obviously. Don't cook fish in the work microwave.
Yes.
But one HR professional listed three things that you shouldn't do in the workplace, and I'm kind of intrigued to see how we process this for a normal workplace and, let's say, WayFM as a workplace.
Okay. So
the first one was don't overshare. It's easy to get comfortable with your coworkers when you're around them for 8 hours a day, but that doesn't mean you need to be automatic friends.
Yeah, no, we have a thing every other Wednesday that we do a prayer session.
Yes.
And that is the classic overshare. But, I mean, it's kind of what's supposed to make us different,
yeah,
you know? Like, we overshare, but people actually care,
well,
you know? So it's a good thing, but it can be a little awkward for some people, like myself.
Well, the breakdown of here is that within this room, you, me, and Betty,
right,
I think we're tight. Like, we can share our lives.
Yeah.
And we do. We share our lives on radio, so that's one thing. But, yeah, I get sometimes you're ready to just kind of turn it off. And the next thing was, and this is interesting, it says, don't be humble. Successful people tend to be very direct about their accomplishments and more vocal.
That's interesting, and I get that. In that scenario, yeah, but then there's also a whole new brand of leadership. It's not super new, but I mean, it started with Robert Greenleaf in the 70s. This is what my master's is in, in leadership. But servant leadership came to fruition, and it changed the game for how people chose to lead, and it's where you lead with your people first, and you actually know them and care about them, and that makes you better and will make your company better.
I mean, if we're supposed to model ourselves after Jesus in our faith walk, you can model yourself after Jesus as a servant leader.
I learned, too, coming here to, like, Christian radio, that everything that made me successful in mainstream radio was a liability here. Like, it was a detriment. Arrogance, ego, all of that stuff that had been ingrained in me. And I got here, and it was just off-putting to people in the building, people that listened. And I mean, God had to do some work on me, and I had to change parts of my behavior and parts of myself to better do this job.
Love it. And then the last thing was, and I think we probably agree with this one that says don't stick around too long at work parties.
No.
It's more important just to swing by, show your face, but hanging around longer than that can just lead to, like, burnout where you've worked an 8-hour day and then you're at this party for 2 or 3 hours afterwards. You realize, oh, man, like, this day has gone by and I'm exhausted.
See, for me, it's different. For me, the longer I hang out, the odds dramatically increase that I'm going to say something stupid and make someone mad.
Sure.
And so, like, especially if I think I got an audience, and then I'm like, oh, let's push the buttons here. Things are too comfortable. Let's make it awkward.
And we're trying to push you out of the
party. Yeah. So, yeah, I get it. Those are good rules for some places, but definitely not for here.
If you're not a genius, don't bother.
Dang it, Dale. That's genius.
Uplifting WayFM, this is The Wally Show. I recently started doing something that I feel is genius. And maybe you don't feel this or you feel this, I'm not sure. Or maybe you've thought of this or have not thought of this. But I think it is worth a note that it might help you. Okay, here's the deal. When I buy something, if I'm not sure if I'm going to keep it or not, because you take it out, you test it, you're like, oh, no, this isn't what I thought it would be. I'm going to return it. But you can never get it back in the box the way it came.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Like, I don't care how you do it. You try, and it never fits. The box always has a little bulge in it. It never fits as perfectly as the people who originally packed it. So what I've started doing is I take a picture. As I unbox everything, I take a picture of how everything was oriented inside of the box so that when I go to return it, if I choose to, then I can put everything exactly back in and I can hand them a box that just looks, oh, good, like he just is returning this.
Like he never opened the
box. Exactly.
That is a kindness, I think, to those customer service people who, you know, maybe they are handed back this messy, jumbled up box and they have to take it because you have the receipt and it's the product isn't damaged, but the box
it looks horrible. It looks like it's been through a war zone. Yeah,
they could take yours and say, we'll receipt and put it back on the shelf.
I open the box up without breaking any of the tabs. I'll cut the little plastic pieces with a knife and then gingerly open the other little insert tab. It really is. It's very surgical. And then I put it all back together like it was like I was never even there. Like CSI could look at that thing and be like, that's new. But no, it's not. I have tested it. It was not for me, but I want to make your life easier. Here you go. So that is my genius move, I think, is take the picture so that you can get everything back in the box just the way it was. And what we want to do with you, though, is share your thing. You're like, I think this is genius. It's something that you do that maybe you think no one has ever thought of before. And you might help somebody out. You might help somebody like me today or Gavin even. And we go, wow, that's genius. We've never thought of doing that like that. So what is yours? 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. Now, it might even sound dumb to you, but inside, you know, this is genius, you know, and maybe those are even better. So 855-33-WAY-FM. Calling all geniuses. We'll take yours now. What is that thing that you've done that you think is genius?
Well, since it's tax time, everybody's like, you know, getting their receipts together. And the first thing that I do is you take a picture of your receipts on your phone and you upload it to your computer. But when you save the file name, you save it with, like, let's say it's from Staples. But you put the amount that it's for, so say it's like $20. Then you never have to open that receipt again, and when you're adding everything up, you can just look in your files and see what the amounts are.
Oh, so in the title of it, you put the amount. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it saves you a lot of time. Instead of like opening up 15 different receipts, you've got it all right there.
You have also just brought me way down because you reminded me I haven't done my taxes yet. I'm like, no, I hate tax season.
I think you're one of many people that haven't done their taxes yet, if that makes you feel better.
Did you already get yours done?
I did last weekend.
Ah, you're making me feel worse. Renee, stop it. Well, then you can have a good weekend. I'm going to have to go hunker down and get my taxes done. But I think I'll employ your new method. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. You guys have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Lee, what's yours?
Okay, well, it might not be that genius, but it's helpful. Spending a lot of my time on the road between work and life. I eat on the road sometimes, and if you ever have food that has, like, sauce packets, say nuggets or cheese sticks or whatever, you've got the little tinfoil lid or whatever that you can't leave on the sauce because it flaps back over in your way, and you don't want to drop it in the bag because it makes a mess when you stick your hand back in the bag. So I just take the little lid and, like, stick it to the inside of the bag with the sauce that's on it, basically, like, glue it to the inside of the bag, and then it stays out of your way, but it's also not in the way.
Well, you know what, Lee? I do the exact same thing. And so we are both geniuses, especially with McNuggets. I just peel the top piece off, and then in the McNugget box, I just stick it on the lid of the box on the inside, and it never is a problem. It works so well. Now, my hat's off to you for eating McNuggets while you're driving, because that is not easy with sauce.
Sonic cheese sticks are my favorite.
Lee's like, this is not a problem. I can do this and do my makeup. I'm on the road a lot, you know?
Well, moms came with, you know, eyes in the back of their head and octopus arms, so.
That's right. That's right. Well, Lee, we appreciate you being on the show with us today. Thank you.
Yes. Have a great day.
Random acts of audio.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. And today's random act of audio comes to us courtesy of TikTok. I had found this thing about when worship leaders try to be creative and fun with their music choices. We all know the Friends theme song.
No one told you life was gonna be this way.
You love life's DOA. What are you going to do, you know? And so a fun little theme song by the Rembrandts, actually. You probably don't know that, Gavin.
No, I will never know the band. I just know Friends.
They were actually a band, a known band, not just a jingle band that did this song. That has worked its way into pop culture. But I love when, like, worship leaders will try to take something in pop culture and then flip it up and use it inside a church. And somebody was like, yeah, this is what that would sound like.
I just want to share something that's been on my heart lately. What if no one told you life was gonna be this way? Your job's a joke. You're broke or your love life's the away. It's like you're stuck in second gear. Like maybe it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. But he'll be there for you. When the rain starts to pour, he'll be there for you. Like he's been there before, he'll be there for
you. If I was a worship leader or in a worship band, I would task and have like a running pool of money for the amount of times that the worship leader could work in song lyrics from other songs into the rap of setting up a song. To me, it would be fun.
It was great because she had the worship leader prayer
got the
voice
tone
that people have. And I think it would have taken me a second if I was in the actual service.
Yeah.
Because you're in the zone for worship.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it would have taken me a second to realize what she was doing.
Your arms would be up and you're like, oh my goodness, yeah, that has been my day, my week, my month, my year. Oh my goodness.
And then all of a sudden,
my love
like...
life's DOA. No, I'm out. Yeah, you start clap. Everyone claps at the same time. That would be amazing. All right, that's going to do it for your random act of audio for today.
It's easy to let the fear of the unknown keep us from doing something that is good for us. But going back to school might not be quite what you think.
Yeah, one of my biggest fears going back to school was I'd have to watch a ton of online lectures, and I kind of have a problem staying awake during stuff like that. But it was so different than I had imagined, and way better.
Yeah, for sure. I thought I was going to have to take a bunch of tests, which I am not a fan of. But instead, I was able to write papers, which for me was way better.
Plus, you have the flexibility to work in school around your work and life schedule. Another big fear I had is, what if I don't understand something? What do I do?
Yeah, CCU, they foster community with your classmates, and they are a great resource. And Colorado Christian University has very responsive online professors who are there to help you so you are never alone as an online student at CCU.
Learn more about how you can pursue your passion and find your calling with Colorado Christian University at ccu.edu. Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart.
Sifting through the insanity to find you something that feels good.
Mucho, mucho joy. I like to give away joy for free.
It's news-ish on The Wally Show.
If you just mention the word teacher, like some person will usually come to mind. And all my teachers, I remember back when I think about them, they all seemed old.
Oh.
Yeah, they do. But like as I remember it, but I'm thinking they probably weren't, you know, that old. So I'm curious how students of this girl, and yes, I said girl, Shania, will remember her. Shania graduated from the University of Oklahoma at 15 years old.
Oh, okay.
So she went to college and knocked it out at 15. By the time she was 16, she became the youngest teacher in the U.S.
A teacher.
She's actually a teacher, yeah. She said that her dad realized in seventh grade she was advanced. And, like, her siblings were all really smart, so she was like, well, I guess this is just what we do. And she could write college-level essays at seventh grade. And so they're like, well, why don't you go ahead and enroll? And she went to school. She became the youngest student at University of Oklahoma to graduate. She said it felt like I was an undercover superhero.
I was going to say, I would almost, if I was a student going into class, I'd be like, okay, well, I guess the professor brought her kid today.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
yeah, 13.
Yeah.
I am curious because there was a TV show back in the day called Doogie Howser with Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
And he was like a whiz kid that went to college at 13 and became a doctor when he was a teenager. But I'm curious like how that life looks like for someone who's 13 going to college.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it fun or is it just, it's all work?
Yeah,
you
because
know?
Like my viewpoint on college was that it was a really good social experience and got to be a young adult for the first time, but you're not an adult.
Right.
If you're a 13-year-old, you're just there academically.
Right. My favorite part, though, she got her job offer at 15 to teach, but she wisely turned it down till she turned 16 so that she could drive herself to work.
Oh, that's instead of getting dropped off
yes,
for work.
She's in the car line with her mom dropping her off to go teach the kids.
Oh, man.
Oh, so good, man. And so, yeah, so she is teaching 8-year-olds right now. And she says they have no problem taking me seriously or giving me respect. I think as long as you're taller than them, they're like, oh, you must be older.
Well, and some, I think, younger kids really look up to older
kids. Yeah.
So I'm thinking there's an interesting dynamic there of them being a teacher, but also maybe something to strive, maybe not strive for 13-year-old college student,
right,
but strive for being you know, the professional that she is.
Yeah, because at first I thought, yeah, are they going to respect her? But you're right, kids look up to other kids, you know, and so, and really the problem would be parents. Like, handling parents as an adult is problematic. Handling them as a 16-year-old kid would be crazy. But when you think about it, she's only 8 years older than her students. Mm-hmm. They're 8 and she's 16. But when you think about it, like, say you were in high school and you were 17 and you had a 25-year-old teacher, it's the exact same thing.
My brother graduated college a couple years ago. He's 3 years younger than me. So he's 25,
yeah,
and he teaches biology at a high school.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I'm with you when I think back to teachers being old. And it's funny because you said, like, you picture a teacher, and it's, I picture my mom who was my teacher.
Yeah.
And you're not old, Mom.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but that's what you think. She said she wants to be an inspiration to people. And she says, I want to show people that you don't have to wait on nothing. Actually, anything would be the proper grammar. So hopefully she's not teaching grammar.
No.
She's really smart, but how did that happen? I love that that's the last line in the article for this girl who's accomplished so much, and that's the thing I pick out. I am so small. I am so sorry.
So what is TikTok, and how do you use it?
I always find, like, so many, like, short little music clips of things on TikTok that I find funny. And a lot of people do. That's where you discover music and everything. But every once in a while, you find something that's really, really funny, too. It's like people are messing with Taylor Swift fans. And there's a song. Someone did, like, a deep fake of a Taylor song. And it's AI generated. It sounds like Taylor Swift. But then the things that she's saying in there, you're like, oh, is this Taylor? And so the joke of it is you go to a Taylor Swift fan and you play this song for them and you say, this is a snippet of a leaked Taylor Swift song, her next song. What do you think?
Well, and it's funny because if you're, you know, the average Taylor Swift fan, you probably are, like, ready to believe that that's
true. Oh, absolutely.
True.
You want to. You're like, because she said she's got a new album. Yeah. They're already leaking songs. This is great. And then you hear the lyrics.
So happy that my Javi made it to the big game. One step closer to Kelsey being my last name. But if you feel like you ain't worthy, you can call me Mrs. Tillipurdy. I'm not flying from Japan to be seen with the man who loses. So dirty. If you in a ring, I want one, two.
I love that. You're in the ring, I want one too, but like I'm closer to having Kelsey as my last name.
I mean, it's like, I don't think she would say the word Travi or
right.
things like that, but there are parts of that song where I'm like, I could see that being in a real Taylor Swift song. And again, if I'm that crazed fan, I would be hearing that. Oh, that's, she got married.
My
him.
Favorite is the look on every girl's face. It's always like, wait, what? No, this is no way. We don't even approve of him yet. I don't think he's right for her. No, Taylor, don't do this, you know. And they buy it hook, line, and sinker. So that's one really great song that I found on TikTok. Another one was somebody took the old Van Halen song, Jump.
I get up, and nothing gets me down.
Classic off their 1984 album. And then they removed all the music and they put a country song under it.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, no, no. It's unbelievable how good it sounds.
Oh, no.
I get up and nothing gets me down.
It fits.
It's so good.
You got it tough. I've seen the toughest around. And I know, baby, just how you.
That one, I mean, it works to me.
The music makes me happy.
Yeah, it's kind of boppy. But just technically how well it fits,
yeah.
I was floored by it. I'm like, I wish I could have done that. That's really good. So there you go. That's a couple of the funny music things floating around on TikTok. I highly recommend if you have a Taylor fan in your life, find that song and try to do the prank with them because it'd be funny. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. Not too long ago, Gavin switched from Android to iPhone, which we were really happy with because it made working together, it just made respecting him easier. So he made the switch. Do you use Siri for much?
Not too often. My wife is a much bigger Siri user
yeah.
where I have this fascination where I just like to type and find my way through things. Right. And she'll be like, Siri, what's the weather? Siri, play this song.
When it first came out, like, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like a digital assistant. Yeah, I get why people would like that. And I never really used it. Uh-huh. But then I came across this thing that, of things that Siri can actually do for you. I'm like, oh, okay. Like if you're having a trouble deciding, you can say, hey, Siri, flip a coin.
Oh, yeah.
It'll flip a coin. So that's like little things like that. It's nice because it can calculate your tip. You say, what's 20% of 6380? And she'll tell you that it's 1276. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. Instead of trying to actually do math, mm-hmm. you could have her do math for you, which I love.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. In iOS 17, it can read articles for you aloud if you're in Safari.
Oh, that's smart.
That's really great. I would love that. So, you know, when I'm looking, because I'm reading dyslexia stuff, like reading is hard for me. And so if I was on the go too and could have something read to me, oh, I would love
that. Some people
that.
Are better audible learners than they are readers, so that's. Makes sense.
If you have like your devices in your Find My iPhone, mm-hmm. instead of going to that app, you could literally just say Find My Watch and it will ping it for you. And then this one is probably my favorite. I didn't realize this. I watch a lot of 90 Day Fiancé and they have apps for communicating mm-hmm. back and forth in different languages because most of these people make bad decisions and they're wanting to marry someone they don't even speak the same language as.
Oh, can it?
And yeah, and it, really? It can actually translate. So basically, here, I'll show you. We'll do a little example of how this works. Yeah, you basically just say, hey, Siri, and then you tell her what you want to say. Like, oh, sorry. I tried to whisper it, but my phone picked up on it. Okay, stop.
It's a good listener.
I know, stop. Okay, Siri, stop. Stop. Now, you know what? Now I'm going to close it out. And then I got to come back to it. Okay, don't mess me up.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Hey, Siri.
Mm-hmm.
Say Gavin has a tiny bladder in Mandarin Chinese.
Oh. In Mandarin Chinese, Gavin has a tiny bladder is.
Gavin de Pongo Deutsche. Yeah, so at least that in every language, we will know and we can share that. Oh, yeah, when we go to El Salvador. Oh, Spanish. Let's see. Okay. Hey, Siri. Say Gavin has a tiny bladder in Spanish.
In Spanish, Gavin has a tiny bladder is?
Gavin tiene una vejiga pequeña.
Pequeña. I know that word. One. Yeah. So that will come in handy on our trip with Compassion this year.
I don't think that the world needs to know that information. Let's keep it in English.
But I do love that, though. Like, you have basically an in your phone translator app right then and there. And, you know, I don't know that you have to be on Wi-Fi either for that. So
no, I think Siri exists as just this, like, entity instead of the internet.
It's very scary, actually. There you go. Maybe a couple Siri tricks that can help you out as well.
And now for some good news.
Yeah! Uplifting Way FM. This here is the good news giddy up. It's a roundup of some good news stories because the regular news is a bit of a bummer, and these actually kind of feel good. So, Gavin, we're going to start with you. Good news giddy up, go.
Royal Caribbean's new icon of the seas cruise ship is now the largest in the world at 1,198 feet long.
It is huge. I've seen a bunch of videos because I'm a cruiser, and so I love cruising, and I'm like, oh, I would like to be on this.
Such a little city at this point. And it's got its newest crew member this month. A six-month-old golden retriever named Rover was named Chief Dog Officer.
Nice.
Her job is to bring joy and happiness to her fellow crew and guests.
Well, there you go. Yeah, like a therapy dog, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, any dog will make me happy. And you don't necessarily think you'll see a dog on a cruise ship, so maybe that'll be kind of a fun twist for some people.
Now, here's mine. What are the odds of a person finding the wallet? They're out on a boat. They drop their wallet into the ocean. What do you think the odds are that they would find it on the beach a year later?
Zero.
Like the tides and the current and everything washed that wallet up on the beach. Well,
no way.
That actually happened for this lady. Drops her wallet overboard. It gets washed up on the beach. Now, what do you think the odds are that it's the lady that finds her own wallet a year later?
Beyond. Lower than negative.
Like, not even calculatable.
It would never happen.
Yeah, it happened. That's the lady found her own wallet that she dropped in the ocean like a year later, which is a bummer, though. She's like, everything was still intact, except, you know, you've already canceled all your credit cards and everything.
None of it's useful.
Yeah, but I guess at that point, you're like at least thankful that, you know, well, I didn't get my identity stolen, so you're thankful. But what a weird, like, against the odds story of that happening. So there you go. That's your good news giddy up for today. Call Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. There's a new movie out now called Ordinary Angels, and it stars Hilary Swank and Alan Ritchson. It's a true story of a lady who kind of gives everything she has to help this family out that's lost their wife and mother. And we love the movie so much, we decided to do our own contest where we ask people just like you to share stories about their ordinary angel. And now we have Laurel on, and Laurel told us about Jill. Now, what did Jill do for you, Laurel, that made such a difference in your life?
Well, a year ago, my husband, Jason, passed away from a heart attack, leaving me as a single mom to our 9-year-old son, Jackson. And so, as expected, after the death, he didn't want to go to school. So I called the school and told them that I couldn't get Jackson to go. And they said, well, can we come to the house? So the principal, the assistant principal, and Jill, the counselor, came to my house. He got up, he went to school, they bought him lunch, they let him stay in the office all day. And I was just like in awe, like what school does this, right? But it didn't stop there. So for Jill, she kind of took Jackson and myself as her mission to, you know, help us get through the school year and through the first year without Jason. She's come to our house over the summer 3 times to talk with Jackson, get him excited to start 5th grade. Just countless unpaid hours with my family.
What does that mean to you as a mom? Because you're dealing with your own issues losing your husband. I mean, how hard is that? And then when you see your son struggling as well, what does this mean to you that this lady took this kind of time?
Oh, it means everything to me. And Jill is definitely our head angel of our army of angels. Jill is the one person that he will talk to about his grief. So it means everything to me.
Let's do this because Jill, actually, thanks to you, Jill is the winner of our Ordinary Angels contest.
So well deserved. I'm so excited.
So she's been in the lobby. She can't hear us. And we're going to bring Jill in right now. Hey, Miss Jill, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Really good. Do you know the lady that you see on the screen there?
I do know her very well.
That's good, because she said a lot of stuff about you talking behind your back. You know, all of it was good, though. So that's a nice thing.
That is a very nice thing.
So, Jill, do you know what Laurel had done for you because you did so much for her family?
I recently found out, and I was just so overwhelmed.
Yeah, she nominated you as her Ordinary Angel in the contest that we were doing that was all inspired by the movie Ordinary Angels, and she told us so many great things and how much of a difference you made in her family. We didn't have you on just to tell more of your story. We actually have you on because you were our grand prize winner, Jill, and you are winning $2,500.
I am just like so overwhelmed by it because obviously as a counselor, that's not why you go into this profession. It's to be there to serve others, and they're just such a special family, and I'm just so glad that I was able to be there, and I would do it over and over again. And I'm just so touched and honored. Thank you so very much.
So you are our ordinary angel. And now you have to promise me something, that you'll take this $2,500 and you'll spend some of it on yourself. Because I have a feeling you're going to spend it on other people too.
There's always things I could use at school for sure.
Nope, not the point. Not the point.
I'm just so touched. Thank you guys so much. You know what? I love your station. I love what you do for others. And just the uplifting message that you send to me when I'm in need. Too. So just thank you for what you've done. And Laurel, I'm just so touched and overwhelmed by all of this. I just want you to know I love your family dearly, and I'll be by your side however long you need me.
Look at that. Jill still being encouraging to everybody. That's the way you do it. And that's why she is our Ordinary Angel winner. So we got our friend Andy Irwin on the show with us, and he's the guy behind the movie I Can Only Imagine, and now he has a new movie out called Ordinary Angels starring Hilary Swank, and she is great, by the way. And her passion for this film really comes through in her character, who's like this broken mess, but God still uses her to accomplish a miracle in the life of a desperate single father whose daughter is in need of a liver transplant. True story, by the way. Now, the one thing I love about you, Andy, is that your movies are not preachy. I would put this somewhere like... you got Blindside at one end, and you've got War Room at the other. You guys are ahead of Blindside on the faith, but way under War Room, you know? But it's done in a way that's like accessible and not off-putting, and it's not heavy-handed.
I think it preaches as good as any of the films that we've done.
Because I know your heart is not to water down the gospel.
No. Our heart is to be strategic. This one was really about trying to understand this everyman kind of blue-collar guy that had a relationship with God but was just burnt out.
Yep.
And he felt like he had lost faith in the church and lost faith in God really seeing him and being there for him. So it's kind of that skeptic that's outside the church walls that we want to reach.
Well, you do a great job of that, and it reached into my chest and punched me in the heart in the first 3 minutes. It's a great movie, and it will be in theaters February 23rd, and you can actually get tickets now at ordinaryangels.movie.
News-ish is one part news and one part ish.
This is what I use. I don't use my brain. I use my mouth.
It's right there in the title. It's The Wally Show.
What you got, Gavin?
When it comes to telling the differences between generations, I think the easiest way to see it is through the lens of technology. Kids these days will never not know what smart technology is,
right?
Touch screen. And if I go back to being a kid, I had a flip phone. And I'm not that old.
That's true.
I'm only 28 years old. But that was what was commonplace for me was growing up, was flipping it out, typing on a keyboard. But somebody, they put together this list of things that used to be commonplace in the life of a boomer in that generation. So, and which one?
I'm Gen X.
You're Gen X, is before or after?
After boomer.
Boomer. But you probably, you know, your parents were in the boomer generation, so I'd be curious to know.
Like, I identify far more with boomer generation than I do with Gen Z or millennial.
So I'm curious if some of this stuff showed up in your life.
I'm sure it did.
The first one was listening to the radio, hoping to hear the song you liked, because if you didn't own the record, you couldn't just play the song.
Yeah, you didn't have an iPod, you know, and like, in this is what used to happen too. There was nothing on demand, and so you would call the radio station, you would talk to the DJ, and you'd be like, hey, can you play this song? I love it. It's my favorite song. And then you'd listen as he never played your favorite song, you know, and like, man, I thought we connected. It's so funny because I used to do that. I had a portable radio, and I listened to DJs, and I called them, and then years later, I end up being one.
That
you know?
Is kind of interesting.
And so when people call and they want to hear a song, I try, you know, but I can't even always do it because we got playlists and all this
and
other
sometimes
stuff.
Sometimes they want to play something that's really old.
That we don't play and stuff like that.
So it's
sometimes
hard, but it's kind of interesting to see it's still sort of happening now. The next one was having a home fax machine.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if I could tell you exactly what a fax machine is.
It's a facsimile machine, and it basically is like a photocopier, but it sends it to somebody. It's like an email. It's an old school email that you would get the actual paper printout of.
But for like the family to have its own fax machine is just very different.
People still fax certain things today. Like when you're doing a real estate transaction, a lot of times they're like, oh, fax me that or whatever. It's not as common, but it still happens.
Still around. Okay, the next one, which I barely ever see, but I know it kind of still exists, is when you take pictures back in the day. You took them on film roll and you were careful about the pictures you took because you had limited space and you didn't necessarily know exactly what that photo was going to look like until you printed it out. So you were careful with how you took your photos.
And it was expensive.
Yeah, yes, that
and
too.
There was no messing around. When your mom's like, we're taking a family picture, like, don't act the fool because we got one shot at this, you know, kind of thing. And if you were the one that ruined it and you didn't find out about it till a week later, you were in trouble. Like, now you can look at everything right away. You can take 37 selfies. Just I've had to take pictures with Betty for stuff for work before, and she'd be like, okay, take my picture like this. I'm like, all right, okay, cool. And I take like two pictures, and she's like, no. I'm like, really? Okay, do the same. She poses again. No, higher, left, to the right, more this, more that. I'm like, oh my goodness, you would never do that with old school film.
No, I think I identify more with that too, because I know, at least when I take a photo, I'm like, it ain't gonna get much better.
Exactly.
I know that some people though, it's your whole camera roll is the last selfie you took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's times definitely have changed, and I guess some things have definitely gotten better, like the photos and having them instantaneously at your fingertips and you can go back through and find stuff. I think that's one of the things that we definitely, the technology got so much better and got greater. Some things, they don't always improve it, but that definitely is one of them.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. Every week, Pastor Chad from our prayer wall and our prayer and care team comes in, and we kind of talk about what's going on the prayer wall. But coming up on Monday, we have something really cool that we're going to do as an entire station. Every show is going to be involved with this, and it's called our Day of Hope.
Yeah, we have set aside an entire day just to talk about Jesus, to brag on Jesus, but also to invite people that maybe Jesus has been a thought in your life, or maybe he's been a thought in your past life, and just inviting you, like, is he part of your current life? And inviting you, if you want to take the next step with Jesus, come do that. And many don't realize we also have a prayer and care line where people are answering the phone every day to pray with you. We have our prayer walls, but we also have a prayer and care line. Yeah. And so we're going to open it up on Monday. We're bringing in more staff to kind of help out. And just the other day, we did the same thing on one of our sister stations, and I was able to answer phones for their Day of Hope there, and was able to talk to a guy named Jerome. And Jerome had been addicted to prescription meds and really just wanting to be there for his kids and family. He's like, I just need to turn to Jesus right now, and I need to surrender my life. And it was just an incredible time for me to just, I didn't lead him in prayer. I just said, Jerome, do you want to just pray right now? And he just broke out in prayer and just started asking Christ to come and change his life. And it was just a powerful time. And so that's part of our mission here at WayFM, to be able to point people to the love of Jesus.
Yeah, because not everybody that listens is a believer, or you know, isn't like committed in their faith. They're kind of still kicking the tires of it a little bit. And yeah. I love that we have people that listen like that. And sometimes, you know, I know that we do the show in a way that we want to do it that's entertaining for people, mm-hmm. That's clean entertainment. We have God threads throughout things, but then we goof around and stuff a lot too. And so I love that we're going to take one day and really focus on the gospel all day, every show. And I'm real curious to see like how God uses that mm-hmm. in people's lives. Because sometimes you just need to have the invitation. God's already been doing the work with somebody for months or years sometimes. And it all culminates in this one moment where they get the invitation and it's like, oh my goodness, it makes sense now.
We heard of a lot of stories just last week through our support drive that God is using. Yeah. Even the unexpected things where we're talking about issues of faith sometimes on air, and God uses that to turn people's hearts. So we know he uses these conversations.
So we're going to do this on Monday, all day Monday. And one of the things too, like if you're listening, because it's easy, like when you go to church, sometimes you're like, I know this story. You know it all, you know, and I'm guilty of that. But you know, like, hey, I'm already a believer, so you're going to talk about all this stuff. It doesn't really matter to me. You can pray for people. Yeah. God's going to move in people's souls so that big things can happen. But we also, as part of this too, we are going to talk about sharing your faith and give you some tips on how to do that so that you can be part of, you know, sharing the gospel with people in your own life as well. So it should be a really cool day, and we're going to do that on Monday. And so we're excited for you to be a part of it with us. It's our Day of Hope here on WayFM. Uplifting WayFM, this is the Wally Show, and I am a considerable amount older than Gavin. It turns out I could be Gavin's dad. How old is your dad?
My dad...
70s. When was he born?
He'll be 54 this
54.
Year.
54. I'm a year older than your dad. Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah.
That's crazy.
But it's different, though, because you do have, like, since we work together, I don't necessarily always go, oh, that's my, you know, adult dad figure type person. Right.
I feel like I'm raising you, though. And so I think your dad did a great job.
I think he did.
He did a great job. He gave us a good start. And now I'm going to bring it home.
You're the next baton.
Yes. Your dad has passed that off to me. No, but like the thing is, like, looking back when I was a kid, or when your dad mm-hmm. would have been younger, there were things that we did, like, generationally that weren't a big deal back then.
Sure.
But boy, howdy, if you did them today, they're a big deal. Like, real simple. Just think about this. Like, when I was a kid, my dad owned pickup trucks. He had a construction company, and we would love to ride in the back of the truck. It was like, oh my gosh, can I ride in the back of the truck? And my dad would be like, yeah, ride in the back of the truck. Now, my dad wasn't a lunatic, so he'd say, sit down.
You know? Don't ride it like a surfboard.
Yeah, there's no seat belts or anything, but sit down in the back. You'll be fine. And so we did that. But I mean, like, you look at it today, one small accident, you're getting ejected out of that thing.
Yep.
And like, would I let my kid ride in the back seat of a truck today? I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I loved it, you know, or that my dad would let me drive when I was younger.
Maybe enough bad things happened that led to those types of things. Or maybe thinking back to, I mean, like, it was almost half and half when I was younger, about 20 plus years ago. But there was sort of a wear a helmet, don't wear a helmet.
Oh, when you ride a bike. Yeah.
And nowadays, I mean, when I have a kid, that helmet's going on right away.
Yeah, I never wore a helmet as a kid. I mean, it was not a rule. And now I guess it is in most places. Your kids under a certain age have to wear a helmet. And so, yeah, then you got helmet hair everywhere.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah, it's the worst. You already got enough working against you when you're a kid to then show up someplace and you got helmet head? Come on, man. Things aren't always better. So I am curious, like, maybe you've noticed this as you've gotten a little bit older, and it'll date you a little bit, but that's okay. What is something that wasn't a big deal back in the day that there's no way you could do today? All right, so 855-33-WAY-FM. I'm just curious what different things you can come up with. 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now. So what's yours?
So when I went to high school, our high school had a full-fledged smoking section.
No,
so
it did not.
People went in between, yes, 100%. You could go out and smoke between class and then come back in. And I didn't think anything of that until, you know, now I look back with my kids and I'm like, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
That is insane, because technically you're not allowed to smoke till you're 18 by law anyway, you know, so it would all be seniors. What part of Florida did you grow up in?
I actually grew up in Kentucky, so that's probably telling why we had a smoking section.
That checks out too. Hey, Seth, I appreciate you being on the show with us today. Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. All right, Michelle, you're up. What is something you did as a kid that would never fly today?
So when I was 5 years old, I was in kindergarten, and my mom used to have me walk to school by myself. It was like a 3-mile walk.
At 5 years old?
At 5 years old. I was left alone a lot as a little kid. I have a 6-year-old, and I would never consider even leaving her alone.
Yeah, you always know where they are. They're within eyesight of you now, like at all times, you know, if they're outside.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. I tell you, I used to get out of school after school. I would wear my bathing suit under my clothes, and I'd just go straight to the pool after school. My mom never knew where I was, and it was fine.
Yeah, and unfortunately, today it's just different. We have to be more vigilant as parents than we did back in the day. So I guess some things haven't gotten better. Well, I appreciate you being on the show with us today, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day, you guys.
I came here in a time machine that you invented.
Great Scott.
Now I need your help to get back in
time. Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wallace Show. It's Friday, which means one thing and one thing only. It is Flashback Friday, and we are in our time machine going back in time with Nathaniel. How are you today, good sir?
I'm great.
Now, Nathaniel is calling the shots, and also, too, Nathaniel, we have call signs like they do in the military on the time machine. Do you mind if we go with Nate the Great?
That's fine.
I'm just curious, do you have any other nicknames, though, that someone's given you?
I've got one that's Nate Dogg.
Nate Dogg, that's pretty good.
That's so good.
I don't hate that, actually.
Oh, what's my code name?
Rambi. Kind of like Rambo meets Bambi, so you're Rambi as your code name.
That's kind of cute. I like it.
You're sweet, but then there's times where you're a stone cold killer.
Thank you.
Well, Nate the Great, Nate Dogg, if you would be so kind to give us a song that you want to go back in time to hear, we'd love to hear it.
I really want to hear Cornerstone by Hillsong.
Oh, Betty Rock, what are we setting the time machine to?
We're going back to 2012.
Oh, wow. That's a little while ago.
So in 2012, Facebook announced that it had hit 1 billion active users.
A billion?
A billion.
I thought you were going to say 1 million, honestly.
No, I wonder if it's more than that now or less than that now, because I think the demographic for Facebook has changed a bit since 2012. It's more for, you know, the older side of people. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see.
I find myself on Facebook Marketplace all the time, but then I will also like see, oh, okay, what's going on here today on the old wall?
I get it. Yeah. I get it. It's an addiction.
Well, that's a great song choice. Why'd you pick it, Nathaniel?
In this day and time, with all the false doctrines and everything, we really need to remember that Christ is our cornerstone.
I do agree with you. I think that we tend to water down the gospel because we're so afraid of offending somebody. But really, the kindest thing you can ever do for somebody is speak truth. Now, you got to do it in love, but speaking truth is the way to go. So here we go, all the way back to 2012. It is Cornerstone by Hillsong for Nate Dogg.
Woo!
On Flashback Friday.
Thank you.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM. This is the Rock Report with Betty Rock.
I am filling in for Miss Rock today. She's out sick. And after being snubbed by the Oscars, Barbie director Greta Gerwig is simply moving forward. She realized it's part of the business and she really needs to, you know, take it in stride and in perspective and get excited about her upcoming project that I am equal parts curious about and nervous about. I did not like the Barbie movie at all. Okay. Do you know what I'm going to say?
I know what you're going to say. And I am falling in the ballpark of actually having enjoyed the Barbie movie for certain aspects of it. But I know what you're going with.
So Gerwig is adapting C.S. Lewis's iconic Chronicles of Narnia for a Netflix series.
Yes.
Now, Chronicles of Narnia, A, I never got it as a kid. Sure. I was not the smartest bulb on the tree. And so, like, someone was like, oh, yeah, that's the story of Jesus. What?
It's a lion.
It's a lion, but the lion dies for, okay, well, where's the little hoof thing come in, you know? Uh-huh. It's like, so, like, I didn't fully get it, you know? And so when someone explained it to me, I went, oh, okay, I get that. But, like, they're doing this as a series, and, like, Netflix CEO described it as rooted in faith and a bigger and bolder interpretations than fans have experienced before. That's where it gets a little nerve-wracking, because when he wrote this, he wrote it with the intent of having an accessible way for people to have the gospel shared with them.
Sure.
You know? And so Gerwig herself said, it's connected to the folklore and fairy tale stories of England, but it's a combination of different traditions. This is where it can run off the rails. Because again, like, he had a specific reason for doing this, and it was faith-based, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if they make this all of a sudden politically correct, all roads lead to a God, and there's a super force, you know, it's going to totally undermine the intention of what that series was actually about.
Yeah, and normally Netflix is not the ecosystem with which faith-based stuff flourishes in doing the strong faith-based stuff.
Yeah, so I'm real, real curious if it will look anything like the original, or if it will be homogenized and, you know, politicized or politically correcticized.
Sure.
You know, to, you know, make it something that it wasn't intended to be. And she says that, you know, it's the backdrop that is what makes it interesting. No, what makes it interesting, it's the truth of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, sure, yeah, they walk through a wardrobe. Hey, that's cool. We're in another world. But, like, we've seen that all the time.
Yeah.
But the message of the story about giving of oneself and the timeless, ageless love of God for us, like, that's what makes that story compelling, not the fact that it's this two weird fairy tale worlds. You know?
And one thing that is nice, though, is if this Netflix series comes out and they go a very different direction and one that you don't necessarily want your kids to watch, they still made three, you know, Chronicles of Narnia movies back in the
day. That's true. I'd forgot about
those.
And
you can go watch those. And if you watch those, Liam Neeson voices Aslan.
So it's you know, nice.
Liam Neeson voices the god-like character in that one. So that's kind of cool.
There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll give it a check. I will remain cautiously optimistic and hopeful.
Yes.
To see what the new incarnation of this is. But it's coming out on Netflix if you want to check it out. I always recommend stuff like this, especially when it's faith stuff, is see it first.
Sure.
And then go, okay, this is what I want for my kids to see. Or, yeah, we're going to take a pass on that. So there you go. That's your Rock Report for today. Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. And when your kids go to college, especially if you're paying for it, you want them to, take classes and things like that that are going to further their careers and be good for them. And that doesn't happen at a lot of schools. This was one thing that I thought was interesting, though. These two kids got a scholarship to go to college, a sports scholarship. And you're like, oh, if you're the parents, like, yes,
yeah,
thank
you're thinking
you.
Football, baseball, yeah. Basketball, some of the primary stuff.
Nope, Division I cornhole.
That means there's Division II cornhole, yeah, and Division III cornhole.
And those people are just trying to get to Division I. We want to make it to the big show. So apparently, two kids from Colorado, I guess they're like really good at it. They've won like all of the cornhole program or championships that they've been in since 2021, and they got signed on National Signing Day to go to a university in South Carolina, which checks out.
It is funny because I've seen dart throwing and cornhole on ESPN, so I know
the Ocho.
I know it's a what? No, not even that. It's a professional sport.
It's so funny.
Wild.
I've tried to watch it on ESPN. Like, look, it's a skill. I get it. It's a skill. I'm not a great cornhole player, but then again, I haven't dedicated my life to it, and I don't think I should, you know?
No, but I can see where when something turns into a fun backyard game,
right,
turns into a party trick, but then, according to this, if it turns into something that saves you a lot of money for college, I mean,
that's
why
great.
Not?
Yeah, they didn't get a full ride scholarship, but the coach at Winthrop University thinks that could be in the future.
Well, as the
sport grows, it doesn't seem like a growing sport to me, but maybe it is.
I don't think a lot of us thought that, let's say, like pickleball was going to take off, but I'm sure someday pickleball is going to have scholarships for kids who go to college.
If you told me there was a pickleball scholarship, I would believe that more readily than cornhole.
Sure.
Honestly, like pickleball is more along the lines of a traditional sport like tennis or whatever, and it's so widely played now, and you have a professional version. I guess you have that in cornhole too, but it did get me to start thinking about like what are some of those non-college classes you had. Like I've seen people have classes like about the Beatles, you know, and things like that. And colleges always start to have weird electives and things like that. Like I took windsurfing in college.
Which is, you know, a great hobby.
Yeah.
But for you to be able to take it as a college credit class.
Yeah. And I went to college in Arizona, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
No, like,
I knew that.
I went in Florida, and so I'm like, hey, they offer windsurfing? Yeah, let's do this.
Sure.
Now, I was paying for my own college, so.
You
like,
truly did pay for that yourself versus using mom and dad's money to.
But it was better than going and taking another math class something like
that
for
use.
Funsies. Funsies. Did you ever have a weird class, Gavin?
Oh, yeah. I took it literally was a Harry Potter class.
Oh, my goodness.
And it wasn't about anything other than reading the books, talking about the books. I mean, it was something that that should not have been in a college setting. Because I thought maybe we'll talk about this could be an English class.
Yeah.
Talk about tropes, talk about all this stuff.
Right.
It really was just a book club.
Oh, man. If I was your parents, I would have been you owe me for that one.
The only thing that makes me feel better is that it came during the year in which my student loans were my own.
Oh,
and so
okay.
It was kind of the year that I'm
it was on
still
you.
Paying for,
okay.
per se. So I feel a little better.
You're still paying for that Harry Potter class today.
And you know what I can still do? Read Harry Potter every day.
There you go. All right, well, what is that thing, that non-college, college class you had? Because I know some schools have some really weird stuff. Maybe you took it, or maybe you just know that your school had it. I'd be interested to know that. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now. So what did you take that was kind of weird?
I actually took a rappelling and marksmanship class.
Rappelling and marksmanship?
Together, yes. We shot bow and arrows and we rappelled off buildings.
That's kind of fun. Is it anything you still do to this day?
I have not done it since then. Well, shooting a bow and arrow, yes, but rappelling, no.
Yeah. See, that's a fun class, though. I'm sure your parents didn't know you took that class.
No, they did not.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, I appreciate you being on the show with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Teresa, what was your kind of non-college college course?
I took a children's literature class, which was like literally reading like The Hungry Caterpillar, children's baby book.
Really?
It was so easy.
I mean, that is one that if I had to take a lit credit, I would have loved that because I hate to read. Reading is so difficult for me. Like today, anytime you hear an author on the show, usually they have a children's book out, and that's why I'm interviewing them because I can't read regular books. Suzette, what is that non-college college class you took?
Okay, so it wasn't me. It was my son, but he took a moose kill class.
and they would get called out on moose kills when a moose would get hit on the road or something, and they would have to butcher it, and they would have to quarter it, they'd have to carry it in, they'd have to package it.
Really? Where was this?
In Alaska. From Alaska.
Okay, well, that does make a little bit more sense. And, I mean, in Alaska, I mean, that's survival type stuff. What they really should have been doing, it sounds like, is have a driver's ed to not hit moose. Would probably be the best college class.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes, as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group, maybe exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.